Welcome to Sonata Secrets with Henrik Chilham, unlocking the world of classical music. Frühlingsrauschen, or Rustle of Spring, is a famous piano piece by the Norwegian composer Christian Sinding. He's kind of a one-hit wonder, with this being the one hit. And it has an amazing energy. It's a lot of arpeggios in the right hand. They sound harder than they actually are, because it's just in one position the whole time. Although it's not an easy piece, it still requires a lot of rhythmic precision, and it gets more demanding for the left hand later on. It has clear thematic material in march-like dotted rhythms, and the parts flow seamlessly into each other. All in all, it conjures up the energy that lies dormant in wintertime to be unleashed in spring, with crisp winds blowing, flowers breaching the ground, and animals coming out of hibernation to enjoy the beautiful scenery. Let's have a look at the music. So we have the melody in the middle register, but played with the left hand. And then filling up with the bass. So it's the same statement two times. The first time it goes to D flat major. Well, we add the amazing texture in the right hand. It's just a chord, so it starts from B flat minor to D flat, and they are D flat and B flat minor relative key, so it's very coherent tonally. So the second time it goes to F minor instead of D flat major. It's just one note different, a D flat to a C, but it creates this minor mode tonality. So now we're staying on F minor, and it's kind of insisting with this amazing scale. It's like a gust of wind, amazing piano writing. And it's F minor. And then C plus 5, so it's a dominant to F minor, but with a plus, creating this extra bit of tension. Not to speak of the 7 against 8, really like not going even out in the rhythmic sense. But you never count this, you just play it as one beat. Now a third time, it goes back to major, and it's A flat major, so goes to E flat, and it's A flat major with E flat at the root, and then E flat major, it's a dominant to A flat major. So it's a very clear cadence here. But then, immediately, now the melody goes down and we go back to F minor with this, now it's a C7, not the plus 5. But it's really, because it's chromatic, you throw in this chord that modulates from A flat major. The C7 is not part of the A flat major scale, so it's a dominant to the new chord. This is how we create harmonic movement in music, basically. So here starts like the second part, and it's in F minor, and it kind of starts from a low point and then aims upward. So we go to a diminished chord, a lot of tension. And then you change a few notes chromatically. So we keep the D, but the rest of the notes, we move them chromatically up. And then we get the D7, which then points as a dominant to G, and it's D minor. So it's keep modulating, and it's just a really cool way, this way of diminished and then changing chromatically. This is a tritone, by the way. This scale, very effective, just that motif. So it feels like it's going somewhere all the time. That's what's so great about it. And now it's the same melody. But now it's in a sequence starting one note higher. First time it's F minor, and then it's G minor. Same diminished chord and mechanism. So it changes diminished to, this is E7 pointing to A, and this time it's a major, not minor. So the third time it's a variation, it's major. And now instead of going to diminished chord, we go to a pure major chord. So this is a culmination. Here we actually get a return of the first part. This is a melody. But now the texture is changed, and this is like the second part of the piece. But I'm before that, we go to this when we are from A major. We go to D flat major. So we're back to the key that the piece is in, but from A major, it's a very hard shift. It's a mediant. So A major to D flat, there, super sharp switch. And then we get this bass descent. It's just a scale, but it's so effectful when you have this molto crescendo and just D flat major. And going to A flat 7 as a dominant. This feels like operatic repertoire, like Verdi or Puccini. So now the first part again, the theme, but now the texture is flipped. So we have the melody only in the right hand and thick chords and octaves, and we have arpeggios in the left hand. More, this is like more proper common piano writing. And now this, now we get a chromatic scale down. So we've had the texture of fast, quick notes. They've been really quick and just a motion. And even this are like, they're just a flurry of notes. But here, when we get this chromatic scale, the quick notes are stretched out to 16th notes. So 16th notes are normally fast, but here they feel slow because there's no other faster notes. So you can really hammer on this chromatic scale, I think. Again, a plus 5 here. It's a A flat 7, and then the E is the plus 5 going to D flat. So in the beginning, the melody, the first part, we have it's in B flat minor. This is only B flat minor, and then it's D flat. But now we get, it's the same melody, but now we get with a D flat. So it's a D flat and the B flat is the 6. Very lush, nice chord. But then it goes down to B flat minor 7. And this is a new variation. We get a D flat 9, some extra coloring notes. This is a 9 chord, but then it goes back, to the F minor, and now we get this insisting. And this scale, the first time it's only in one octave, now it's expanded to two octaves. It's a closure on A flat major, but then it goes immediately into the second part again. Now we keep the same texture, so melody in the right hand, but now we get this sequence on F minor, G minor, you remember. Powerful progression. There's one difference though in the harmony. So instead of a diminished chord from the beginning, here we got the diminished first time, but now we get, this is a half diminished, so we get an extra E flat. So the diminished notes are here, and instead of a D we get an E flat, and it changes the nuance of the chord a bit, but it still switched to the same D7. So the notes are changed more. Well, they're doubled. Same, half diminished. By the way, if you're playing this, I've got a tip here. If you remove one note here, this F on the septuplet, because like the first time it's only six notes, then the second time it's seven, but I don't think you would hear it, and it's much easier to play in strict six tuplets instead. And I don't think anybody would hear the difference. Now, the third time in the sequence, we're in A major, now the bass goes down to a G, a new detailed variation here. Put the 7 in the bass, that's always a powerful move. And now we get to the median shift, D flat major, and we get another chromatic scale. I mean, it's such a beautiful climax of a piano piece. You couldn't dream of anything more, almost. The chromatic scale goes from the left hand to the right hand, and then we need a little bit more, so we keep going, go back a bit to the, and this is a D flat major, and the B flat is a coloring note as a 6. And here we get the melodic statement, the first theme again, but we finally get to rest on the harmony of it for 4 bars, one harmony, just going up and down. So now if we look at the form of the piece, we've basically gone through a first and a second part. If we call them A and B, we've had A, B, and then A, B again, but with the texture inverted, so arpeggios in the left hand. And now we get to the A for the third time. And now the texture is flipped again, so we get the same as the beginning. And from here on, we're basically gonna get an exact repetition of the first A, B part. As in the beginning, so the initial texture again. But it's a very cool effect here, because it sounds like it's a new thing starting when we get this texture. But the statement goes immediately to F minor. So in the beginning you always have first D flat, and then, because that makes sense musically. The second time it's modulates, actually. But the thing is that when we reach the climax in this melody, this is the first statement, and it goes, it stays in D flat major. And then the second time is this. Can you hear it like that? So the second time is F minor. This is like a structural sleight of hand by Sinding, because it's a new thing two times in different times. First, the melody as the culmination of the previous crescendo. And then we get back to the first texture, but it's already the second statement. I just played through this AB part. Now we get back to the AB. They're always going into each other in this way. The logical conclusion is the start of the next part. And now, so this time the melody stays up here, actually. And then goes down the second time. Now for the ending, like the short coda, we get a few closing loops of the melody, just going between D flat and A flat 7 as a dominant. And some final fireworks on D flat major that are also much easier than they may seem, because it's just one position every time. Then you need to get these positions of the chords here. They're not regular. Yeah. Now, there's an old film where this piece plays a part. It's called Intermezzo, and there's an American version from 1939, but that's actually a remake of an original Swedish film with the same name from 1936, and Ingrid Bergman is the female lead in both versions. And the American version is produced by David O. Selznick, who after this made Gone with the Wind. And the male lead in the American version is played by Leslie Howard. And he plays a kind of famous violinist who's on tour, but then he comes home and he meets Ingrid Bergman as the piano tutor to his kids. And they fall in love and play together, and a lot of drama ensues. But there's one scene where they have had dinner and they kind of talk. And then this piece, the Frühling Instruction, is kind of included in the conversation. So they talk about it and the music is played in the background because it's a very apt manifestations of their emotional state, you could say. You first hear the music in a symphonic arrangement, and then it cuts to the next scene. Ingrid Bergman sits at the piano and plays that piece, and the music continues over the scenes in a nice way. It's kind of a fun thing to know about. I'll put the link in the description to that film is up on YouTube. And as always, thanks for watching Sonata Secrets. And the Patreon shoutout in this episode goes to M. Kroskel, Y. Garnevsky, and